Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning as we are moving further into week number three up here at Saratoga. And as I say this, the sun comes out. You got to love that up here. It has been a little overcast this morning. Still a little humid, a little close, but certainly very comfortable. So if you're planning a day up here, I think it's a nice card. Should be a fun afternoon. And as I say, the sun has appeared. Also appearing a little bit later on in the show, we'll be joined by Dave Grenig, our regular Thursday visit from the Daily Racing Forum crew. And Dave's in this morning. We'll talk a little bit about some of the stakes races over the past week or so, and then also look forward because we have coming up certainly the Jim Dandy. We want to touch on that, but more as well. All of that coming up with Dave Grenig. Also joined a little bit later by Humberto Chavez, the chaplain at the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. They have the Jockey Charity Basketball game coming up a week from today. We'll tout that a little bit later on, middle of August. The brunch that will honor Tracy and Todd Pletcher, and we'll talk about some of the programs that the chaplaincy does. They do great work with the backstretch folks, but also doing great work, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And I knew I'd have Kim in at some point, maybe multiple points during the season. Wasn't necessarily expecting this morning, and I will alert you. Hopefully we'll get Ray Lou Gutierrez on again. I'm looking forward to talking to him. You know, an upstate New York guy, led the Fairgrounds jockey standings this year. But the game plan was to have him. Then I got a text from him, hey, something came up, can't make it, we'll do it again. So we'll get Ray Lou in. But I knew I could make the late call, and I knew Kim Weir would be buzzing around the back stretch from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Kim, thanks for saving me.
It is so nice to be here, and I will say this for my mom, who may watch this at some point, that I did not dress for television this morning, so I am grateful to be here in my natural glory.
I am grateful that you deigned to come on, given the situation.
No.
And as they say, pull me out of the fire a little bit. Otherwise, I would have had to vamp for 20 minutes or so. So I certainly appreciate it. As I said, the game plan always to have you on a couple of times during the meet. So start number one. And should I wave to your mom? I know she watches all the time, and I had the pleasure of meeting her the other day.
That was fun. She loved meeting you, and she loves when we are here. She will definitely watch this, and maybe some other folks will too.
And I should note, I met her at the event, and had this been a formal, I would have pulled up the cover of the magazine and the picture because I had Mary Ann Barker and Maddie Zanetti on the other day, and I had the cover of the magazine, the picture, and mentioned to them, I'm 25 in Saratoga, and you were on the list. Saratoga Living Magazine was about a month and a half or so ago. They had an event downtown honoring the folks that in their 25 issue, the 25 people who kind of make things happen in Saratoga. Who was on it? Kim Weir.
Well, I don't know about that. I do believe I'm an excellent seat filler. This morning is an example of that, and I do believe that might have been what happened in the magazine. But, hey, it was a very nice bit of recognition because I do love speaking for the horses, and any chance I can, I will do it. At the drop of a hat, I'm happy to be here.
And we're happy to have you here. And, again, that was the event was fun, and well-deserved honor to you and Mary Ann and Maddie as well. And, as I said, I knew Mark Mulholland. I used to play basketball with him back in the day, some pickup. And he was on the list, and Jim Bond was on the list.
It was a great group. I was very honored to be a part of that group. Yeah. I know you not only play basketball, I've also recently seen you play a little baseball because Seth was the designated pitcher for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation at the Amsterdam Mohawks baseball game a week or two ago. That was very fun.
Yes,
thanks, all the skills.
Thanks to you. I bounced it in. I'm walking in with Kim and her husband, Bob, who does buyer speed figures. And the host of the event says, well, okay, who's throwing out the first pitch on behalf of the TRF? And I'm just kind of nonchalantly looking around. I'm just there as a visitor, and all of a sudden I'm elected. So, but I said, I bounced in, yes, but it went right into
the floor. I thought it was perfect. I assure you, you were the best of the team on that day, and you were great for the horses. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And it was a fun night over there in Amsterdam.
It was.
Watching college-age guys. Had a nice crowd over there, but also a silent auction on behalf of the TRF and whatnot. So certainly thank you know, Brian Spagnuolo and Jason Brinkman from America's Pastime. I know they've done a few events for you guys. All right, let's talk a little Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And I guess the best way to start out, whenever we have you in here, I'm sure people are familiar with you and the organization, but we also pull in a lot of new fans that maybe aren't as familiar. So give us the mission of the TRF.
I love that. I love that. I'm even going to do it with my first of my multiple visual aids today, because the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is honored to be the oldest and largest charity in the United States devoted to the welfare of retired racehorses. It is our mission to save those who are no longer able to compete from the race on the racetrack from possible neglect, abuse, and slaughter, which is a sobering mission. We were the first. We are so gratefully not the only. We are part of an entire community of thoroughbred aftercare organizations that work together arm in arm to take care of all these beautiful creatures that give their lives, their hearts, their souls to us. We have 425 in our herd today. They are in 8 states across the country, 15 farms that we manage, all of which are TAA accredited. And then our special program, which is what my T-shirt represents, the Saving Horses and Changing Lives, is our flagship, which is our TRF Second Chances program. And that is where we put these horses in prisons. They are not in prisons, but they are in prisons. And they are there teaching the men, women, and juveniles who take care of them powerful life lessons. And the horses do great. The horses, the people's lives are changed. And we are grateful to do it. And we love talking about it. So thank you for letting me share our mission, Seth. It's a
honor. And again, normally and we'll get you in later and maybe plan it out a little better. But we normally pull in a little video and whatnot. And so folks can see some of the folks at the prisons taking care of the horses. And if folks go to your website, and I would recommend going to the website, you can donate and you can catch up with the events and whatnot. But you have some videos on there.
Yeah.
And it really is a program or programs that help the horses and the humans, and you get to feel that from the folks who are saying, you know, I didn't know anything about horses, but now all of a sudden I have this, and this really gives me a reason to keep going and whatnot. And I think, again, it is beneficial not just to the horses but to the humans as well.
Yeah, I love that you get it, and I know that those who come with me to visit our programs across the country really seeing it is believing it, and that's why I'm sort of so grateful to share the story, because most people don't get to come. But our website actually was relaunched this year, so those who visited it before, please do visit it again. It is much more interactive, and it has lots of those videos. But yes, it is really good for the horses, and it might be even better for the people, quite honestly.
And this has also become, it's moved to the forefront in the racing industry, certainly the past 5 years, past 10 years. But when I get the folks from NYTHA over here, they talk about it certainly a lot, the Second Chances program and those kind of things. And I think, as I say, it's become front of the mind for the horsemen and the fans as well. And that is all tied into the TRF, and people now are a little more cognizant of, you know, when it's time, and they can come to you and the organization and find, with your organization, maybe not a second career, but find a home for a horse that maybe doesn't have that next second career as an option.
Yeah, it's like a mosaic of all of us as organizations. We all have a role to play. We want them all to go on to second careers, but when they can't, we sort of specialize in the broken and the old, which some of us resemble more than others. And we make sure they are safe and cared for and live out their long lives. And we call that sanctuary, and we're honored to do it and grateful that you help us tell that story.
Do you, I know there's rotating, are you still rotating in the booth over on the front side of the track?
We are. We have the community booth on August 12th. So that's a day that you can stop by and find us right by the Jockey Silks room. But we also are really grateful, coming back to my cheers to 40 years, 40-year anniversary, our fabulous friends at NYRA offered us a booth each Sunday just this year. Very special thing, but we're over by the Taste of New York Pavilion, which happens to be right next to the pony, like the living, breathing pony. So come see us in the backyard on Sundays. We have volunteers there every Sunday sharing the information, telling the story, and you also get to pet that pony. So it's pretty cool. We're there every Sunday.
All right. I'm going to have to stop over this Sunday.
Yes.
I'm all for petting a pony. Why not? Who isn't?
Yeah.
Some events wanted to touch on. We are unfortunately sold out, but I know, mark it on your calendar for next year, Kendrick, and I've I saw him the other day. I asked him, he is ready to go, making some gumbo for the
TRF. Kendrick Carmouche, oh my gosh, what a ambassador for our herd, what an amazing friend of the herd, and he and his whole family, it's a family affair. They will be moving in on Monday, and our dear friend Fran LaBelle is out shopping already, and we will be feeding the masses at the Principessa Elena. We're so grateful that they give us their venue. I only wish their venue were much, much bigger, because we've sold out 2 weeks ago for this event, but it'll be a great time, it'll be great food, and it is all for the love of the horses, and our thanks to Kendrick for doing that on Monday.
Yeah, I've gone in the past, and I will highly recommend it again. Keep it on your calendar for next year. You'll want to mark that, certainly. And speaking of food, you and I were talking when you sat down, because I had Richard Migliori in here on Sunday. And up in the press box the day before, he had been talking about a little bit. On behalf of the TRF, it was a silent auction, correct?
Yes.
And somebody last year won a dinner prepared by Richard Migliori. Oh, there's the great job, guys. There's the website address. So I highly recommend stopping by there and checking out the various links. But Mig was kind of going over his menu and whatnot. Yeah. He said just the other day he prepared the meal.
Tuesday night was our first venture of the Richie Migliori fantastic meal. And he will say, above all, that Carmela, his extraordinary wife, was right there in the kitchen with him at our dear friends Sue and Peter Bobley's farm. And we hosted a really, really nice family that came. And it was part of our silent auction at the barbecue last year. And Rishi kept saying, I just don't want to wash out. I just don't want to wash out. He is a very talented chef, but he's also nervous about it. And he crushed it. He did such a good job. He cooked for an army, and it was delicious and amazing and so much fun. And we are so grateful to him and to Sue and Peter for offering their home.
Yeah, you could tell when we were talking in the press box the day before, he was
laser-focused.
He was into it.
Yes, blinkers were on.
It seemed like a menu that I said to him when I had him in here, I you know, looking at what you do on Twitter and hearing him talk about the menu, you're not a guy who concentrates too much on recipes as opposed to just playing it by ear. And it sounded like it was going to be a nice dinner.
It was a delicious meal. We are really grateful. And to our great, it was actually our friend Patrick McWilliam of Blue Duck Racing who won that auction item. And so we're grateful to Patrick and his friends for coming out. And I think the real question you can ask Richie is, we think that once he's gotten this first one under his belt, that he'll let us put that in the auction again this year for the barbecue. And now we have pictures. And as long as he's too anxious about it, I think we'll get him back, and we can put that in there for the auction this year.
He's done some other stuff, too. I see you and Rich and some folks buzzing by all the time here on the backstretch going by our tent. He'll, on behalf of the TRF, give some backstretch tours.
He's been a talented tour guide. Yep.
He's been a great...
It's been very fun.
Yeah. Since you kind of alluded to it with the silent auction, why don't we hit on... There's a few events we want to tout up here, but why don't we... One of the biggest for the meet, always the barbecue... I will, again, highly tout that as well. It's a lot of fun, great food, but the silent auction up there, a lot of great items as well. Give us a little update on this year's barbecue.
Yep, there we go. That'll be on our website, too. It is August 22nd, which is the Tuesday before Traverse, and I want that to feel like a long time from now. I'm trying to make these days.
I'm right with you.
Yeah, let's let that feel like really far in the future. But it is August 22nd, and the tickets are selling very, very fast, and this does tend to sell out also. It is a big event, though. It's our big fundraiser, honestly, of the whole year. We can have up to 450 people out there at the Saratoga Winery, which is a beautiful park-like setting. We have weathered the weather last year. We proved that it's just as fun in a hurricane as it is even when it's nice out.
I can vouch for that.
But we had a great time, and so it is great for the whole family. It really is a family affair. We even have a kids menu this year, and even a kids ticket price. That's like a new innovation we've added. So you can get some chicken nuggets and some mac and cheese for your little ones. We have miniature ponies that are very, very popular. We have an awesome silent auction with things like Richie's dinner. I will go ahead and tease, because it's been offered that our friend Dale Romans is going to put himself in the mix. He's going to do his own morning on the backstretch with Dale Romans, which I have to admit will be a lot of fun, and I may have to have my husband bid on that one.
Yes.
So we have a lot of fun with the silent auction. We have beautiful raffle baskets, and my friend Rocco Fuda, who is with the tote here at Naira Heat, that man can sell raffle tickets like there's no tomorrow. So come with cash. And the food tends to always be really good. The folks who were running the Saratoga Winery, Annie and Andrew, just actually bought it, and they are now the owners of the winery. And it's pretty exciting. It has a new logo, and it's going to be fun to go out there and support them. And we just want all of our friends to come on August 22nd, but all of our friends need to buy those tickets kind of soon because they do sell out. Ticket price actually goes up on August 1st, so you're really ahead of the game if you buy your ticket like today while we're chatting about it.
I like that. we're alerting people to a little discount.
There you go.
And I will highly recommend. I've been there in the last few years, and the last year was funny. I actually driving in had to detour because of the weather.
It was.
And kind of by the time I got there, I think it was okay because the rest of the evening, but it came down torrentially.
Yeah.
But again, you're having fun regardless, and the food's great, and it's for a great cause. And the silent auction items are, you know, crazy.
They're so awesome. Well, your video last year was a huge help, Seth, by the way, having you there. We've actually sent that out to everyone. It's on the website, too. You get a little taste of it, but you also get a taste of what I look like hosting a party in a completely soaked dress because we had hail, lightning, thunder. We had a power outage. We had it all, and we still had a great time, so thank you.
also, Casa Amigos, a little event coming up involved with that as well.
That is the one that is upon us, and in fact, it is August 2nd, so last of my little visual aids is August 2nd, which is Wednesday. That is coming up fast. It is hosted so graciously by the Adelphi Hotel. That is an amazing team there, Connie and Karina and Patrick, and they give us the space. They feed us this beautiful food. But this event is a collaborative, so it's a benefit for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. So we call it For Jocks and Horses, the two athletes around whom this entire industry is built. And we split our proceeds. So you can buy tickets for that also on our website, $40 for a fun cocktail or $100, and you get one of these tequila bottles. Casamigos donates all the tequila, and we have the whole Jockeys Colony sign them. Nice. That's actually happening today. And so you can get $100, a beautiful bottle signed by all the jockeys, and it's a huge amount of fun. That's Wednesday, August 2nd, 6 to 8 o'clock. So you can still do something else that night because that's the way next week rolls.
That's the way the whole season rolls if you get right down to it. Because I will alert people that I had a nice Sunday night on the Weir deck last Sunday with a great barbecue. Ramon was there. I got to have Ramon come sit in because we were kind of talking jockey things and strategy. It was fun to pick his brain a little bit, and that was fun. But Mike McAdam and a couple other folks and I continued on after that.
Yes,
so
good. There's always another act.
That's the way it rolls.
There's always another race, right? Is this the race?
It was Sunday. I slept in on Monday.
Good for you, Zeth.
All right. We'll again, we'll do this a little more formally at some point, but Kim, I really appreciate your kind of pinch hitting this morning and alerting to folks the mission of TRF, some of the events that are coming up. But again, as we get closer to the barbecue, certainly we'll tout that a little more as well. But don't forget Casa Amigos coming up right around the corner. Appreciate the visit.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Great.
Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, and he's ready to roll. Dave Grenig from the Racing Forum is up next. We'll talk some racing past, some racing future. Stay tuned. Back in a moment.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Forum. Dave, part of the team that cycles in with Mike Welch here on Thursdays. And we always like to start things out and just tout the Daily Racing Forum product, DRF.com and whatnot. But certainly up here, the workout reports. I know you are part of the team with Mike Welch and others that put together that. And I tout that to people as you'll get a little extra information that maybe isn't on the page. And when you're talking workouts up here at Saratoga, two-year-olds, you can get a little something-something maybe.
That is true. So then lots of two-year-old races to come, especially on the weekend.
Yeah, and that's what Saratoga is known for. And so, again, go to DRF.com, workout reports, and you will have some information that other people are maybe not privy to, and that always plays into the odds, and that's what we like. Let's talk a little bit about some things past before we get to what's coming up, because it's a fun weekend coming up with the Jim Dandy. But first I wanted to just get your thoughts on the three-year-old picture and what happened down in Monmouth with Go Rocket Ride, continuing the trend of three-year-old pictures just so up in the air.
So spin the wheel and somebody new wins one every time they have a big three-year-old race. Go Rocket Ride was a tremendous performance by him. And credit to Mage for his second place finish. I thought he ran very well. I thought he ran almost like his connections thought he would. He was a little bit short, needed the race, was not honed on, drilled on too much since the Triple Crown series of races that he ran in. And, it should only be the better for it. He got up here Monday afternoon. I believe he was on the track yesterday. And, training towards the Travers, as is Arcangelo, the Belmont Stakes winner. I think really the Travers is going to be the key race in the division, and it'll definitely define. It should. I hate to use the word definitely. Should define a leader heading into
Fingers
the fall
crossed.
Races. Whether
the notable though is Go Rocket Ride. Mandela said they're not coming back.
No, I don't think you're going to get either Go Rocket Ride or Arabian Knight from Baffert, who finished third. The older male dirt division is a little bit on the light side, and I think California has defunded, and Country Grammar, though I really haven't seen or heard much of Country Grammar from a training standpoint. They're local guys. Might as well try the mile and a quarter now in a million-dollar race on what's, a course, a track that I'm sure he's trained on at two and this year. So, why make another?
If
you can run a mile and a quarter, $1 million, why not do it in a race that's probably going to be a 6-5, 6-horse field? Without having to ship versus running against everybody here, it's probably going to be an 8-10.
And you beat older, and then let's say Scotland wins the Travers, all of a sudden, maybe that's not a bad decision.
Yeah, well, look, it'll probably all, it should come down to the Classic in California in the fall, in November, and that'll probably. One of the grade ones that you already have. Unless, of course, this horse here would jump up and win it. But to be honest with you, Seth, this was a nice performance, but the Curlin's been lacking over the years. I know V.E. Day did it, I think it was 14, he pulled the double. Yeah. But horses that you saw run well in the Curlin, and especially some of those Chad Brown runners you got a little excited about, they were nowhere in the Travers. And I think if everyone makes it who's talking about making it, most notably the three Triple Crown race winners, I think that gives you a and look, most of the Jim Dandy field, I would imagine, unless they just run super poor, are going to come back.
Yeah.
And even though you don't have any Triple Crown race winners in this field, this is you have the third, fourth, and fifth place finishers from the Kentucky Derby, along with the horse that would have been the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, and then they throw in a nice horse, a speed horse in Saudi Crown, who could upset the whole apple cart just because of the pace scenario. You got to think that if not all these horses, most of them are going to come back in 4 weeks.
Yeah, Scotland looked was impressive the other day, lightly red. The seasoning is maybe lacking, and I will also toss in the three-year-old picture. Man, it's unfortunate two fills had to be ridden because that he would have, I think, added a little juice to the whole summertime scene as well. All right, also want to touch on some of the other performances going back to last weekend. Three-year-old filly scene is a little more defined with Pretty Mischievous, but I thought Wet Paint with the Coaching Club American Oaks made clear she's a contender in that division as well.
Sure. I mean, look, Godolphin holds all the cards, right? They have. If there was no such horse as Wet Paint, Pretty Mischievous probably would have been in there. They have Wet Paint. They made a plan to run Wet Paint in the Coaching Club and then the Alabama, and they have Pretty Mischievous. They're going to cut her back to the 7/8 in the test. and then go to the Cotillion if it all works out. And here's a nice, you know, effort by Wet Paint running down a look seemingly home-free Sacred Wish, who ran quite the, you know, she's kind of a confusing horse for her connections in the sense that she's run well short, she's run well long. I saw her breeze once on the grass at Belmont, thought that's where they were headed after that breeze. They've got a lot of options with her. It'll be interesting to see which way they go. But she ran a respectable second in that race, and Wet Paint ran a very respectable, obviously a very good race to get up and win the race, and should like the mile and a quarter. I don't know who out of that race is going to come back to challenge her in the mile and a quarter Alabama, but I think you'll get a couple of new shooters. Tax, who I liked in the Black Eyed Susan, and then Defining Purpose, who beat Tax in the Indiana Oaks or Iowa Oaks.
Indiana sounds right.
One of those Oaks in the Midwest. Yeah. I think you'll get both of those to come back. And, you know, we'll see how. And the Gambling Girl, you know, I don't know, she was a bit disappointing the other day. Perhaps needed the race. We'll see if she comes back or not.
Third, but a well-beaten third.
Yeah.
But it was also interesting. George Weaver with Sacred Wish said, well, that didn't last long because after the Zot win over at Royal Ascot, he said, I'll never complain about a bad beat again. But
right. And he wasn't complaining. He was just noting that he got nailed on the wire.
Also, last weekend, I like Clairiere. And she had overcome kind of a similar scenario maybe in the Apple Blossom and looked good, obviously, in the Phipps and whatnot. And I liked her. I've liked her throughout the career, so I was on board Clairiere. But you knew at the top of the stretch this was a little bit of a different scenario, meeting up with Nest up at Saratoga. She was just fabulous last weekend in the SHU-V.
Well, Nest kicked off what we should label Champions Week because we have a champion basically running almost all the time this week. You start off with Nest, last year's Real Philly champion, showing exactly why with this performance. And champion jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. showing why, because I thought he outrode Joel Rosario in this instance. You had Echo Zulu, champion two-year-old from 2 years ago, win yesterday. You've got champions on both weekend cards, both Saturday races and on Sundays. And you'll have a champion, albeit an old one, in Channel Maker in Sunday. So Nest kicked off Champions Week. Solid performance. I think these two are going to – I think the plan is for these two to battle three times this year and decide it. I think this division is very light. You know, it's very top-heavy. It's Clairiere. It's Nest. Search Results is nice, but she didn't run that great in the Molly Pitcher, and the rest of them are more of the sprinter type. So I think these two are going to sort of debate it, you know, settle it out in this race, Nest, Edge, Personal Ensign, and then the idea is that both of them get to the Breeders' Cup, whether they would face each other again in a race like the Spinster, or one goes Spinster, one goes Beldame. But these two are, you know, this isn't the last that we've seen of these two in the same starting game.
Yeah, good, because they are, and I said it as we led into the race and talking about it in the morning, you know, it's a four-horse field. You don't get the juices flowing necessarily betting, but when you get a couple of horses like that out there, it's one of those races you'll remember and talk about going back. And it was off the layoff. That was a huge performance.
Huge performance for Philly that like was giving up recency against the top-class mare. Sometimes you're giving up recency and you're facing just okay horses. She was facing, you know, a horse that's not that far away from being a two-time champion.
Yeah.
She got beat less than a length in two Breeders' Cup distaffs, and either one of them or both of them would have made her change.
Yeah. I didn't call up the replay, but you just mentioned it, and I have to mention Echo Zulu yesterday because I have to mention it. A 114 buyer, and in the winner's
circle. It's up to 114. I saw a 112. It's up to 114.
I thought I saw 114, but regardless.
I didn't look it up. I saw it on the great, what's it, X now? It's not Twitter, it's X.
It's X.
I saw something on X that said 112, I didn't look it up.
I clicked the other day, and the X came up, and I'm like, did I go to the wrong place?
I was hoping X, if you clicked on the X, I was hoping the whole thing would just dissolve, but that didn't happen. Look. You didn't call up the replay, but you should. If you didn't see it, you should watch that race. She was tremendous. This is a champion. 2 years ago, she had a muddled campaign last year when she sort of got scratched. When she got scratched due to lameness in the 5 minutes before the acorn was going to go off, and it kind of threw everything off kilter. She ain't off kilter this year. She's right on target. And if we get Goodnight Olive champion versus Echo Zulu champion in the Ballerina, I know it'll be a small field, but that's going to be a heck of a showdown.
And like Nest against Clairiere, Frank's Raquette is no slouch. And
Not at all.
On the morning show, the betting public up here, we're hitting at 43% with the favorites. The betting public is right on it. The morning show yesterday, I think it was maybe 4-5 and 8-5 on the morning line. And we were kind of speculating they'll get a little closer. No, the betting public separated them. Echo Zulu goes off as the chalk, and Frank's Raquette at one point was just before post time was about 4-1. I don't know what the eventual five, but they clearly separated.
Look, this game is about whose horse is faster, my horse or your horse, and there ain't too many horses faster than Echo Zulu on either gender. This horse, she's brilliantly fast and well managed, well handled by the Steve Asmussen barn, and it's going to be fun. Here it is. They found the replay
for you. Oh,
there
we go. Yeah, thank you.
Rags Rocket, it's 2-5 and 3-1. 2-5 and 3-1. So it definitely is, yeah, you know, it's part of it. Now, here you look like turning for home. You're thinking, all right, maybe Frank's Rocket's going to make a race out of it. Jockey asks. Echo Zulu responds. See you later. And you're right. She made Echo.
And coming
she made,
under the wire, he's just here.
Right, yeah. You know? She made Frank's Rocket look like, you know, a horse that's a listed stakes winner, not a nine-time stakes winner, I believe. Nine-time stakes winner. And I think Dr. B sort of took advantage, picked up the pieces, and got second. And yeah, she's just cantering in 108-3. Cantering in 108-3. It'll be fun to see. I think it'll be fun to see her and Goodnight Olive. And I know I can tell you already, it'll be a small field and everyone will complain, but you're going to get to see a heck of a
absolutely. And that's part of Saratoga, that you get to see those kind of performances. All right. And hopefully we'll get to see some of those kind of performances coming up. Let's start tomorrow, the Amsterdam, dear to my heart, because that's my home burg, as it were. A couple $100,000 grade two event. Pulled up the replay from the Woody Stevens. It's going to be Arabian Lion getting it done. Running second, however, the number 13, Drew's Gold, snapped a win streak for Drew's Gold. I tilted in that direction, but I thought New York Thunder might be a little bit interesting. Gilmore off the triple digit last time in this Woody Stevens. Gilmore is going to be running third in here. But what are your thoughts on the Amsterdam tomorrow?
Well, and you didn't mention Rivet, who brings a five-race winning streak into this event with a very nice win in the Maxfield Stakes on a sloppy track. Look, Drew's Gold ran his heart out here from post 13 and battled all the way. This horse has done really little wrong. I wrote a race preview for this, and you talk to Jim Chapman, he's very confident. This horse has had his issues over the time. He had a leg injury a little after the first win. He was sick leading into some of the races during the winter. He's now 100%. And he didn't win, but he ran a winning race last time. And I think that type of performance could get it done. I'm not loving the rail for this horse, but, you know, look, you didn't love the rail for Echo Zulu either, but, you know, class cream rise to the top, and I, you know, he just might be the cream of this field. Rivet, I'm not sure. I don't know that we know how good he really is. If you go, you know, obviously in the Chick Lang, the unfortunate incident with Havana Meltdown, who was pressing him and then, you know, breaks down, and unfortunately, you know, he inherits the lead and he goes on and wins. But I thought his race in the Maxfield, where he got pressed by another horse and then drew away off the sloppy track, I thought was pretty impressive. His trainer, Steve Asmussen, has won this race already, I believe, six times, including the last three. Horses like Gunite, Jackie's Warrior, Yaupon. I don't know if this horse is that horse, but he's good. He's pretty good. I would just recommend guys betting on Gilmore, just from the standpoint is I'm off. And I bet on Gilmore in at 14-1 in the Pat Day Mile. I bet him again at 7-1 in the Woody Stevens. And I thought he ran very respectable races both times. But now I think I'm going to jump ship. And so I would, if I'm advising your viewers, jump on.
I've been there. I have given that advice a number of times on the morning show.
I do think Joey Freshwater scratches, because it looks like he was re-entered for an allowance race on Saturday. So this might come down to the five-horse field that everyone loves so much.
All right. Let's take a look at a couple of Saturday's races, and we'll start things out looking at the Vanderbilt. I pulled up a replay going back to the Aristides at Churchill. It's going to be the number three Gunite getting it done in there. But I think this is a very interesting field. Elite Power, Gunite. But Gunite coming in for Steve Asmussen again with the last few years being so potent with the sprinters, he kind of jumps out at me. What are your thoughts on the Vanderbilt?
Well, this is a pretty impressive performance for a horse that spent the winter in the Mideast running second to Elite Power in the Riyadh Dirt Sprint and then running third in the Dubai Golden Shaheen. Then he comes back off those two races and gives you this, which was, 108-2, winning the Aristides over a horse that loves Churchill Downs named Bango, who I believe came back to win another stage. You know, Gunite, that's a heck of a performance. These gun runners have proven time again that, you know, the older they get, the more racing they get, the better they get, just like him. But, you know, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, and Elite Power is the champ right now. He's won seven in a row. people wonder how, but he's done it, and kind of was in, he was in the middle of it here last year when he won two other than. Won the Vosburgh, which I thought was a weak Vosburgh. I didn't like him in the Breeders' Cup Sprint because of that. And then he wins the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He goes to Riyadh, beats Gunite in the Riyadh, and then he wins the True North. So another key factor. And just remember, look at the calendar. Saturday's July 29th, Bill Mott's birthday. Elite Power running on, you know, on his birthday. But I think Gunite can turn the tables this time. But it's going to be a fascinating matchup. And another horse in here that's a bit interesting, just because his last two were good, again, not necessarily against this caliber, Dean Delivers in post six. I thought he was a little bit interesting if he could just sit a little bit off the pace. Probably going to have to. But I kind of like, you know, this horse is coming in good form. And, you know, 12 times in the money out of, what, 15, 16 performances, you know, he's dangerous at a bit of a price in there.
Comes up off of that smile win down at Gulfstream. Brings the jock, Jaramillo, who I like down there, comes up.
So we shouldn't mind the heat.
That's right. Yeah, no, it'll be right in his wheelhouse, obviously. And again, today's turning out to be a gorgeous day, but it's still a little bit humid, as it has been really since the beginning of the meet. Jim Dandy. We've kind of alluded to it on the three-year-old side of things. Grade two event, $500,000 up for grabs, mile and an eighth. I pulled up the replay from the Arkansas Derby, Angel of Empire. I liked him in the Arkansas Derby. I have liked him since. I'm intrigued to see what he does in this field, but obviously the attention is on Forte. What are your thoughts on the Jim Dandy?
The interesting thing with Angel of Empire is he's kind of, even though they obviously they liked him in the Kentucky Derby, they liked him in the Belmont, you know, his best two races are mile and eighth. He's 2 for 2 at a mile and eighth in the Risen Star and the Arkansas Derby, and he pulls away here nicely. The thing that, you know, is going to be intriguing here is the pace. Saudi Crown is now in this race, so he brings the pace along. Is he good enough to carry this field wire to wire, gate to wire? I don't know, but he's at least going to provide some of the pace in this race. Forte, because if you wasn't in the field, I couldn't see who was on the lead. I was thinking it could have been Disarm, it could have been Forte with the blinkers. Neither one of them wants to be on the lead. Now they have someone to follow. That's going to be, you know, that'll help their cause maybe, or maybe the speed is just potent enough. Where Saudi, I mean, he ran a dynamite race in the Dwyer. Now, granted, that was a one-turn mile, and he doesn't have to go, nor will he be able to win going 44-3. Yeah. But if he can slow it down a little bit and still be effective. You know, he's a real horse, so it'll be interesting to see how it's going to be a very tactical ride.
Strange things happen in short fields.
Yes, very, very, very much so. Forte, what do I make of Forte? He just, you know, you talk about the morning workouts. You just watch him work, and you're like, okay, nice horse. You'd rather just sort of go from here up and just watch the, just look at the, the afternoon results where it's at for this horse. And I thought he ran a very game race in being second in the Belmont Stakes off a 10-week layoff. I was a bit surprised he was the favorite in that race off a 10-week layoff and, you know, the issues that he had. You're adding blinkers, not so much to put him more in the race, but I think it's to make sure that he doesn't, what he did in the Florida Derby and what he did in the Belmont were a little concerning and inhibited him a little bit, sort of dropping back a little on that far turn, and you don't want him to do that. It's going to cost him sometime. It actually did cost him in the Belmont. It didn't cost him in the Florida Derby because he got up and he beat a very good horse in Mage, obviously, comes back, wins the Kentucky
Had
Derby.
Had to come up with a big performance, though, because on the turn, it looked like...
No, it looked like he was not going to get there, and then even in the Belmont, it looked like he was going to be fifth or sixth, and there he came, and he, you know, outgamed Tappet Trice for second, and look, this horse shows up in the afternoon, and that's as a trainer, as a bettor, as a owner, that's what you want.
And as I understand it, these are kind of small, just a...
Yeah, I think they're just really to just keep him concentrated on what he does. What Todd Pletcher had said is that, because his morning workouts don't wow you, because he kind of does what the workmate does and doesn't really do much more. And even on the gallop outs, he gets out-galloped. Not the other day, and I think that was sort of by design, and let him leave the other horse, and he did it nicely. The best part of that work was after the wire, which we described in the story I did on the work, and you can get more information on that clocker report. This is a pretty, I mean, it's only five, but it's hard to throw anybody out here. Disarm, I think, was playing catch up when he was in the Kentucky Derby, and he ran fourth, and then he came, you know, I think he's caught up. He ran a very nice race in the Matt Wynn, beating Verifying, who came back and won the Indiana Derby. this is a serious horse too, Verify.
Yeah, or, Hitch Disarm. Hitch Show's been a little bit of a buzz horse.
It's been a buzz horse, and I never got it. He won the Withers. Great. You know, gave me something to write about in February at Aqueduct. But, and he ran the Wood Memorial. Great. He gave me something to write about in April. But those races just aren't the caliber of the other prep races that are run. He was getting, watching the Kentucky Derby, if you watch that race, and you watch this gray horse just sitting fifth with nobody around him, you're thinking, wow, if this horse can get the mile and a quarter, he's going to be really dangerous. And he couldn't get the mile and a quarter. He's another one cutting back to a mile and an eighth. And it's funny, if you look at the distance part of it in the PPs, you got Disarms one for one at a mile and an eighth, Forte's one for one, Hit Show's one for two with a nose loss, Angel of Empires two for two. This is their, you talk about ideal distances. This is it these horses. Yeah. This mile and eighth is what these horses want to do, maybe with the exception of Saudi Crown. We just don't know because he hasn't done it yet. But this is the best distance for some of these horses. It's going to be a kind of a fascinating race and a tactical race. And I'm actually, I'm not a proponent of five horse fields, but this is about as good a five horse field as you're going to find.
Yeah. No, it's.
The Haskell had seven. Two of them you could have thrown out immediately. So, in essence, the Haskell was a five horse field.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, I think this is a very intriguing addition of the Jim Dandy. And you mentioned Forte, and you mentioned, the layoff from the Florida Derby to the Belmont, part of that, the situation of the Kentucky Derby. And before I let you go, I have to ask you about, you wrote about it in your column, it's been written about the last few days, Mike Rapoli kind of making noise that he may be on his way out of the game.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. When you have 270 horses and you've got a team that's looking at the next group, if he doesn't buy anything at the Saratoga Yearling Sale, I'll buy you dinner.
Yeah.
And I'll also be interested to see how many he buys at the September Yearling Sale. I agree with him. Some changes need to be made with the way things.
Totally get his complaints.
I think changes are in the works. In with the, this new group has kind of hit some rocky bumps on the way out and the rollout of it. But most new change usually is hard, and I think there are, whether they're all the changes he wants to see, I don't know, because I don't even know what he wants to see. Leagues with all the commissioners. It sounds good in theory. They get booed every time. Goodell stands up at the draft. Who boos? They get booed. Rob Manfred stands up in a press conference. He gets booed. They all get booed.
I do, like I say, I do get his point, though. It's a tough situation at the Derby. Now, the Derby, though, given the week, I kind of get. But then that led into him having to miss the Preakness, I think. That's a rule change.
Look, I want to give credit to Mike and Todd, especially Mike in this case, Ford, and I guess they didn't really much have a choice, but look, they could have scratched that horse and made it a trainer scratch, and he doesn't go on a vet's list, which would have been a disservice to the public. But he came out, we all saw, I was there the morning that all this took place, but they could have said, they could have said, well, you scratch him and we don't put him on the vet's list. And then he would have been eligible to run the Preakness. They didn't do that. They played it the way it should have been played. Where I do disagree with Mike is, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, he thought they should have given him more time to scratch horse. I don't think that would have worked, because what can you do, or what would have done that they have done? It would just have been time. I don't know if they could have done anything. You're not supposed to do anything to horses, but on the day of the race.
The whole situation.
And what if happened if something had happened in the race? Wow. So, it's a very tough situation, but what he had wanted was more time. Scratch him at 4 o'clock, not 8 o'clock. I just don't know would have been the right.
You're saying thing. That. And just quickly, before we let you go, I wanted you to mention, because I didn't realize it until I read your column, Eric Kinsell is on the sidelines for a little bit. Well, with an injury that I guess was bothering him, but he didn't kind of realize what it was until the doctor.
Yeah, so he got thrown in a race at Belmont, crashed to the inside rail in mid June, 17th, 18th, around that time, and it looked like an ankle injury. He only rode like two mounts since. He had a stake mount in Canada that he wanted to keep. And when he got back and he was named on a few horses, he underwent some x-rays. The x-rays didn't show anything, but he got an MRI, and the MRI showed a crack in the foot. So he's had surgery, and he'll be out probably till October, November. It's unfortunate for him, but, look, if he gets that, for him, it might work out best to be missed this time of year rather than 3 months in October, November, December, when he can build up some of that momentum, which he's done quite well at Aqueduct in the fall and the winter.
Yeah, that's what his agent was saying as well. That's, but a lot of times when jockeys kind of disappear from the scene for a while, people ask me, hey, what happened to this guy or this guy? Well, if you're looking for Kensel, that's the situation. Dave, as always, appreciate the visit. Again, we'll tell people to go to DRF.com for Dave's articles and whatnot, but also the workout reports, and good luck over the weekend.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, he's here, Humberto Chavez from the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. We'll get a little info on the organization, the events coming up, all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
It's our friend Humberto Chavez, the chaplain here at the NYRA Racetracks with the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. Always happy to visit with Humberto. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little about chaplaincy, some of the events coming up, particularly a week from today, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's just start out for folks who aren't familiar. Talk a little bit about the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy and what the mission is.
Yeah, so Racetrack Chaplaincy conducts services for the backstretch workers in all three racetracks, Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga. We really come alongside trainers and their staff to make sure that they're working well and they're making ends meet in every aspect. Here in Saratoga is a bit different because we come from various places and we come in alongside the stable workers to provide summer enrichment programs for their kids 6 years and older. And that's one of the things that we do. We're actually fundraising for a back-to-school supply distribution, which we give about 300 backpacks and sneakers this year to all the backstretch workers. But it's not just a religious entity. We're in here just really connecting people, making sure that they're all well in every aspect, you know, the body, the physical, and the soul as well.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. I say it all the time. For folks who are over on the front side, particularly if you're new to the game, you got to realize these are living creatures that have to be taken care of 24/7, 365, and it's all on the backstretch workers. And so it's great to have an organization like yours that kind of concentrates on that side of the game, that it is well deserved for the folks that put in the time they do back here. And part of what you do is based on funds that are raised with some of the charity events, and Saratoga is a key to charities for a lot of racing organizations, including yours. And so I think we have some shots of coming up a week from today. It's the jockey basketball game, one of the favorites here. It'll be around the corner at the Saratoga Rec. I think we have a shot of Irad taking a shot. Also, John Wallace was there last year. I'm a Syracuse guy, so that was fun to see him. Just talk a little bit. Tout the basketball game coming up next week.
He'll be with us. That's him. That's John Wallace. He'll be with us again. You can see in that shot Jose Ortiz and Angel Cruz. Please stop by Thursday, August 3rd at 6:30 over at the Saratoga Rec Center in town. It's just a really nice atmosphere, family-oriented, a great place to come and take a picture with your favorite jockey and obviously trainer if they're in hand and they're healthy to play. And hopefully they'll take this year's game. I hope you're playing, too.
I have said to you, a few years ago, I scored my basket and I retired my jersey. Because other than that, it was a little bit humiliating. It was 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was Irod. It was one of the Ortiz brothers was kind of crossing half court. And I thought, well, I'm going to go up and really, I'm going to defense this guy a little bit with a smile on my face because I knew it could go bad. And it went bad immediately. He blew by me like I was standing still. So I think I'm better on the sidelines. I'm better clapping and rooting for the for
but
the team.
This game, the charity basketball game, is our biggest fundraiser when it comes down to our back to school, which is just around the corner. And September 2nd, we'll be distributing about 300 backpacks, like I mentioned, with brand new sneakers as well. And as you see all those people in that image, they're all take part of that and just make it such a nice event to bring in the funding as well so that we could service our backstretch.
Yeah, and again, if folks aren't familiar, the Saratoga Rec Center is 3 blocks from the racetrack. It's right around the corner next Thursday at 6:30. Admission charge? No, right?
No admission charge. It's free. There's going to be raffles, half-court shot. It's just going to be a really fun night.
Yeah, and folks should that's your way to go and kind of donate, buy some raffle tickets and whatnot, yep. Or just donate. And I will note, I believe that is Jeremiah there in that picture. And I will note on the trainer side of things, you got to watch out for Jeremiah. He's got big elbows.
And we got a couple of young trainers who've reached out and said, "Hey, I want to play. I want to win." So it's going to really be a good,
very good
match.
Yeah. And the jockeys, you know, everybody thinks, "Oh, they're a little short guys." They're good. The Ortiz brothers in particular are very good, but there are some jockeys that clearly have played some ball. It's always a lot of fun.
They're good, and hopefully we'll get a couple of outside jockeys as well, just like we got last year.
Yeah, well, as you said, there's always seems to be a little bit of a ringer there wearing the jockey silks that kind of don't quite fit. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, again, that's a week from today. Mark it on your calendar. I will highly tout it. Another one of your annual events coming up middle of August. The brunch out at Saratoga National this year, honoring Tracy and Todd Pletcher.
Yes, that is our major fundraiser, and we're thrilled to honor such beautiful and people who give so much back to the industry as Tracy and Todd do on a yearly basis. So it's an honor to us to honor them because they do so much. But please come out. You could go visit us on the website at rtcany.org to purchase your tickets. We're almost at capacity. I think we're at 250, almost 300 people. So it's a great way to kind of meet the industry. It's a lot of big players of the industry that will be there. It's just a fun brunch to be a part of and see what we do on an annual basis as a chaplaincy.
August 16th out at Saratoga National. Again, you can find more at the website. You saw the address right there. Also, folks can go to the website, and you have a BC Breeders' Cup silent auction package as well.
We do. It's at Santa Anita this year, and with the partnership of the Breeders' Cup, we've come up with this package where there's a $200 voucher for a meal at a really nice restaurant across the street from the track, two night stay over literally 10 minutes walk from the track, and the Friday and Saturday of the Breeders' Cup, two seats in the grandstand. So it's a really nice package. Go out there, bid on it. It will be open until at 1 p.m. on August 16th.
Very good. So, again, you can check the website for that. You kind of talked about these a little bit, but let's just get a little more in-depth some of the programs. Summer Enrichment Program, talk a little bit about what that entails.
Summer Enrichment Program is for the kids whose parents come out here to work during Saratoga season, and we have about 25 kids who participate in our program. And it's done by people like yourself who've donated and big players within our industry. Obviously, the horsemen play a big role into that, and NYRA as well, because they're a major sponsor of what we do. But it's getting the kids out there. And some of these kids, this is their summer, and they don't want to be stuck in a room or in a house. And we give them the outlets through various camps in the Capital Region area to go on out and expand, you know, boating, archery. I mean, they come with such smiles, tired, but with big smiles every single time they come back from camp.
Yeah, that's the way it should be when you're here in upstate New York. And take advantage of being up here. And it's always great to, again, I say, we should, as fans, recognize the work the backstretch workers put in. But if they have kids, they're back there working. And Correct. So it's nice to know the kids have the activities and whatnot. So summer enrichment program. And you mentioned the back-to-school drive. That's a great thing that I always say that various organizations tend to do those, but yours is one of them. So if you go to the website, you can donate some money, because that's always great to get kids ready for school, get the supplies and whatnot.
It's getting the kids right and with the school supplies in the backpack. But now last year we started, we added the sneakers component. Nice. And that is just phenomenal. And hopefully you could go to our website and see how the distribution goes. We give haircuts, we have ice cream, we have some politicians who come out and support us. So it's a really nice thing that we do down in Belmont and here in Saratoga as well.
Yeah, very good. And I also want to tout the recreational programs. I know. Was that Nick that drove in with you?
No, that was Alberto, our assistant chaplain.
Okay, because I know Nick does some of the recreational programs, and Nick Carrison. And that's an essential part because, again, the folks on the backstretch working hard all day, you're providing a little outlet to get them out.
And it sure is. Listen, if you have some free time on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, thank God with the Saratoga Appreciation Tent that John Hendrickson allows us to run this tournament on the premises. They're phenomenal, the games. You know, you have a couple of jockeys that play in some of those soccer teams, but it's a really good soccer tournament that we have here in Saratoga. So I encourage anybody.
So that's right across the street?
Across the street.
Can people come watch?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Come. Mondays and Tuesdays?
Yep.
All right, I'm coming. I know there's dinners over there and whatnot. And going back to the John Hendrickson and Mary Lou days, they would have movies and
whatnot. Yep, we still do that.
That's all fabulous.
Every night.
Yeah, that is all absolutely. Umberto, again, always like to have you on to talk a little bit about the chaplaincy because, again, the backstretch workers are so important. You guys do such a great job through the various programs, and I wanted to tell how people out there can participate as well. Week from today, make the appointment to stop by the Jockeys basketball game. You will not regret it. It's a lot of fun. And, again, August 16th, the brunch, and folks can check out the website at any time and make a donation if they like as well. But appreciate the visit.
Thank you. Keep up
the good work.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate you. Thanks
All
a lot.
Right. Umberto Chavez from the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. All right, we'll wrap it up for this Thursday morning. Again, it's kind of varied between sun and a little bit overcast, but I think we have a good day on tap, some good racing, certainly. So come on up if you can't make it. Stop by the Clubhouse Racebook or one of the branches or Easy Bets and take advantage that way as well. Otherwise, we'll be back in tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.